Welcome into my podcast, as we do every Wednesday with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. Lots to get into, some news concerning the start of the season and some predictions of 2021 and the upcoming season from Brian Walton. The doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group are some of the nation's top experts in the fields of sports medicine and stem cell regenerative therapies. And when people hear about sports medicine or maybe surgeries, they think the DL, the disabled list, or surgery to replace joints that you all of a sudden think, well, I'm on the DL. I can't throw a football or I can't throw a baseball. I'm going to be out for 6 months, maybe out a year. Well, you're not. Blue Tail Medical Group can be a great alternative to orthopedic surgery. Doctors Bays, Crane, Wolf are experts in stem cell regenerative technology. Doctors from all over the world are visiting with Doctors Bays, Crane, Wolf, and Blue Tail Medical Group. Whether you're a high school athlete, a vet, or your joints have been worn by age, arthritis, old injuries, your body has still that ability to heal itself. Let the doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group show you how. Schedule an appointment before you think about surgery. 636-778-2900. 636-778-2900. Visit them. BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. That's BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. It's a Wednesday, and as always, we visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. And Brian, let's jump right into it. There is some news. We hope it means that baseball returns on schedule with spring training. First of all, Happy New Year to you. And hopefully everybody is safe and healthy with your family. How are things going?
Great, Dan. And same to everybody out there listening to us. Happy New Year to all of you. And we're looking forward to a much more exciting and more comprehensive year in baseball in 2021 than we had in 2020.
We are hearing that maybe a 162 schedule would get played and start on time with spring training. At least that's some of the news out of the last 24, 48 hours. What are you hearing?
Well, Dan, there's a whole domino effect across all of baseball that we'll get into, but let's start with what's been said. Now, remember, back in the fall, Major League Baseball announced their schedules for the 2021 season. Full schedules, 162 games, normal schedule, no funny division alignments or anything like that. They also announced a regular spring training schedule. So the assumption is everything was going to be on schedule. Now, of course, we all know the challenges with the virus and how fast the vaccine's out there and when will municipalities allow stadiums to, allow teams to let people into their stadiums and how many and all those questions still have to be resolved. Oh, by the way, how many players are going to be on rosters and are we going to have a designated hitter and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How much the player's going to get paid? All that's got to be decided. But the important thing is that there's a plan that's being worked on, which is to get everybody to camp on time. Now, when I say everybody, I mean the 40-man roster, who are the guys who are automatically invited to Major League Camp. When you're on a 40-man roster, you come to Major League Camp, period. Now, they have other guys that they invite they call non-roster players. But this year, it looks like what they're going to do is they're going to bring in the AAA players. So, and the difference there is that while a lot of non-roster players are AAA players, teams also bring in a number of younger players, the high potential ones, to sort of get a taste of Major League camp. So, a Nolan Gorman, for example, who, didn't have any real opportunity to play in St. Louis in 2020, he still got brought into big league camp, both in Jupiter and then when they reconvened in St. Louis because they want to let him get a taste of that. So the plan would be that those guys, the Major League players and the AAA players, would come to spring training together. Now, that's a good deal for them, but what that also means is that the other players that typically come to minor league spring training, that typically starts around the 1st of March, give or take, those players, and I'm talking about Double A and Class A, so Springfield, Peoria, Palm Beach, the players that would play there, they won't get to come to camp until after the major leaguers and the Triple A players leave camp and start the season. Now, that's not a terrible thing if the major league season starts on time. But if it doesn't start on time, then you've got this backup that's going to occur across the minor leagues where the AAA and the Class A players won't be able to come to camp if the major league players haven't moved ahead. Also on the major league side, you've got the question of are they going to have to play in some kind of modified bubble? And what about all the AAA teams? Because the major leaguers, fly a charter typically, but the AAA players fly commercial. So are they going to be able to have a normal schedule where they fly and with the general public And, you know, so there's a lot of questions yet beyond, but back to your point, Dan, it's a positive thing that that everybody is going to try to get to camp on time and get the season started on time.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, too, about with the minor leagues, and they're so dependent on fans in the stands, and not to say that the major leagues aren't, but they've got the big TV money, they've got other revenue streams. The minor leagues are so dependent on fans in the stands. Can they survive without fans in the stands? And that's something, if it gets pushed back and the vaccine is rolled out and you can congregate, that makes it a little bit easier to swallow if you push the season back with the minor leagues. Would you agree?
Dan, that is so huge. Now, let's go back to 2020 for a minute. Remember that the minor league seasons couldn't be played. That means, and you were talking about the percentage of revenue that comes from what they call game day revenue, which is tickets and parking and concessions, that kind of thing. For at the major league level, depending on the team, it's in the 40% range. The Cardinals say they're at 50 or more because they're more dependent on those 3.4 million fans. But the point is, half the revenue at the major league level, because they've got TV contracts and all the other things you mentioned. At the minor league level, if they don't have that game day revenue, they're dead. They're cooked. They got nothing. So, and the problem, as I mentioned before, the positive is, hey, the major league schedules got announced. They got announced last fall. The minor league schedules did not get announced. So you're a minor league team owner. You can't sell sponsorships. You can't sell season tickets because, number one, you don't know when the season is going to start. Number two, you don't know how many games you're going to play. And so how can you take money for tickets that you don't know if you're going to be able to sell?
Yeah.
So, and by the way, all the restructuring of the minor leagues, there's new agreements that have to be signed. All those 120 teams that survived, none of them are officially in yet because they haven't signed their agreement with Major League Baseball that says, I'm going to play by your rules, MLB. I'm going to upgrade my facility. I'm going to, you know, do the right thing for travel. And by the way, I promise not to sue you, MLB. And until all of those teams sign that agreement, which hasn't even been presented to them yet, the teams won't get a schedule. And if they don't have a schedule, they can't sell tickets.
It's a nightmare. It really is. And it's got to be settled here in, you know, roughly about 6 weeks if you're a major league club. That is when a major league season would start. A spring training would start roughly, Brian, in about 6 weeks or so.
Right. Spring training are roughly middle of February to the end of March, give or take. But, you know, as we talked about, that domino effect goes down further in the minor leagues. What they talked about was maybe if the Class A and Double A seasons, maybe they wouldn't get to start till May 1 because they can't come to camp until the other players have left, right? But they might run till October 1. So maybe they would give those leagues the same number of games they would have had before. Well, here's the problem with that. What that means is that the minor leagues, those, when we call them full season teams, they play roughly 140 games. Those teams would now have to be playing in September, where they've never played. The minor league season traditionally ends Labor Day, and then they have their playoffs for a week or so, and they're done. And there's reasons for that. Number one, the kids are back in school. Number two, football started. And in those local communities, they're not going to be people going to the ball. And by the way, the weather starts getting cold. People just aren't going to go to the baseball games at the same level in October as they would earlier in the year. So there's a lot of questions yet about just the full season level. And now we haven't even got to the short season yet.
What do you think they have to do? Major League Baseball, what do you think the time frame is for them to make a decision on whether or not we start spring training on time? What do you think a realistic time frame is? And I know it's a tough question to answer, but what do you think a realistic time frame is to start telling players? Because I've seen, for instance, yesterday I saw Jason Kipnis tweet out. He said, it would be nice to know if we're starting in March, or is it going to be April, or do I need to know, do I have to be ready in February? What do you think a reasonable time is to let these players know, hey, you got to be ready by date X to get ready physically, mentally, to gear it up and be ready for a major league season?
Dan, I would love to answer your question directly, but I can't. And let me answer your question with another question. When is Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association, the Players Union, going to agree on the protocols that are going to be followed this year?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. You just don't know.
Until you know what the protocols are, you don't know, you know, who can report. Now, players, you know as well as I do, Dan, traditionally there are a group of players who either live in Florida who are just anxious to get started, and the calendar flips over the new year and guys start showing up informally in camp. Well, you know, it's not like the old days where people could just show up. Now they've got to have test intake testing, and there's got to be all kinds of protocols. And by the way, then the team has to have all the employees in place to do all that work, and they have to pay them more to do that because they would have to come in earlier. So there's all these complications, and I don't know. You just have to hope that the owners and the players are actually sitting down, and the players' union are actually sitting down and working this through. But there's no smoke signals. You know, like you're sitting there waiting in the Vatican. Is the smoke going to be black or is it going to be white? There's none of that going on right now. We're not hearing anything that's going on.
Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com is my guest. One of the fun things that you do as we turn the calendar is take a look at your predictions for an upcoming season. I want to go through a few of these, and you have, is 2021 the new 2019? So what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that as admirable as everything that was that happened around the Cardinals in 2020, you can't really attach much significance to any of it other than, hey, they made the playoffs and it was a wonderful year. But, you know, guys who played well or guys who didn't play so well, you know, the number of guys had starts and stops in their training because of COVID and because of the interruptions. And it's just really, it's almost like 2020 didn't happen in a way. And we're starting 2021 as if we're coming off 2019. We still don't know, you know, for sure what's, you know, who are the guys in the outfield that are going to play. There's a bunch of questions among the pitchers, which pitchers are going to be starters, which are going to be relievers. It's sort of like every question that we had a year ago about the Cardinals, we still have.
Another thing that is on everybody's mind, and we've been talking about it every day just about since the final out in San Diego, Yadi and Waino, will this be their swan song? And it could be in St. Louis, or they might play one more year. And in maybe Yadi's case, he plays two more years. But who knows if it'll be right here in St. Louis.
Well, and the Cardinals are waiting to see what happens in the market. I mean, every indication we get, every rumor we get is that the players are, you know, waiting for the phone to ring with that offer that's good enough for them to accept. And by the way, this isn't specific to the Cardinals. This is happening across the game, you know, with the exception of the rare San Diegos who are, you know, who are really making big moves. The Cardinals, like everybody, pretty much everybody else, are just sitting on the sidelines and kind of waiting, biding their time, and in hopes probably that they can get better deals, in all honesty. And Adam Wainwright, you know, after he came off that, was it 5-year, $95 million contract that he was hurt a lot of the time, you know, he agreed the last couple of years to a 1-year contract with some incentives, and it was a very fair deal for him. It was a very fair deal for the team because when he delivered and he pitched the innings and delivered, you know, he got paid appropriately. But if he'd been hurt or ineffective or whatever, he wouldn't have got paid as much. And that's the way it ought to be. But Yadier Molina's not in the same place, right? He's just coming off this 3-year, $60 million contract, and he's not to the point where he says, hey, I'm ready to take a reduced role. Hey, I'm ready to take less money. Hey, I'm ready to, you know, play less and groom the, you know, my replacement and all that. He's not saying any of that. You know, he wants to play every day. We know that. And so, you know, that has money expectations as well. And, you know, the reality, though, is that I'm sure the rest of baseball is looking at these two guys thinking, hey, they're going to return to the Cardinals anyway. So if, you know, why should I spend a lot of time trying to chase them? Because chances are good they're going to end up back in St. Louis anyway.
We are back to square one in, you know, in a certain way of sorting out the outfield, whether it's Justin Williams, Tyler O'Neill, Harrison Bader, Lane Thomas, the list goes on and on. But this has got to be it, Brian. This has got to be sorting out the outfield with this group and this cast of characters.
Well, the good news is, you know, it's clear that in 2020, Dylan Carlson stepped up. He came up initially, he stubbed his toe, he went back, he came back, and he solidified his role. Now, he may not play in the same position in the field every day, but we're going to see Dylan Carlson in the lineup every day. As we talked about last week, who knows where that is in the order? Is it 1, 2, 4, 6? You know, who knows? But he's going to play. But, you know, then if you assume that Dexter Fowler is going to continue to play, and by the way, if you look, until Dexter Fowler, you know, had to go on the injured list because of that medication complication he had, Fowler was one of the top three outfielders on the team. You know, he deserved to play. There was nobody else that was stepping up to push him to the bench. But in an ideal scenario, some of these young players, whether it be Lane Thomas or O'Neill or whoever, they would play well enough that, you know, Dexter Fowler could move maybe into a reserve role or at least a platoon role. And then you got Harrison Bader, who, you know, not only is, of course, a Gold Glove caliber defender, but he was one of the top three hitters on the Cardinals team last year. Again, last year was last year. I get it. But certainly Harrison Bader did nothing in 2020 to show that he shouldn't play, although I will say that his numbers continue to be very, very strong, much stronger against left-handed pitching. But the bottom line, what I'm saying with all these words is there aren't a lot of places for these guys to play in the outfield to get playing time, especially even if the designated hitters developed, if the Cardinals bring in another bat, because the hints that have been left around is that's the place where they think they could add some more offense. That blocks off these young outfielders from, you know, playing there as well. So, you know, something's got to give in terms of giving these guys playing time. And you just hope with a 162-game season instead of a 58-game season that we would see enough of these guys so that when Fowler's contract is up at the end of next year, you know, they'll know which guys are keepers and which guys aren't. And, of course, they're a little more cautious probably because of what happened with Randy Arozarena. Now, nobody remembers about Magnus Serrera and Adolis Garcia and all the guys that they outfielders they gave up on that didn't turn out to be anything. But Randy Arozarena was right smack in our face in the World Series, and that's probably caused the Cardinals to be a little more gun-shy about giving up on these guys before they get a real chance.
How about a third base transition potentially in 2021?
All right, so now let's go back to what we talked about at the beginning of the call, Dan. They bring in the Major League players and the AAA players first. That would imply they're not going to bring in the younger players. And those younger players, by the way, are the guys that we most kind of want to see maybe in St. Louis late in the year if things go well. And I'm talking about Liberatore and Thompson and Nolan Gorman. Those guys aren't AAA players. They never even played a game at AA. So are they going to be in big league camp? Are they going to get the benefit of a full season? Or are they going to be these guys that get stuck reporting later and later and later and maybe not playing a full year? And it's bad enough that that might happen in 2021, but if you go back a year to 2020, they were the guys that, you know, all they could get was that time in alternate plant camp playing scrimmages against each other. So, you know, you really need a full 2021 minor league season to learn more about these guys like Liberatore and Thompson and Gorman and others who you're hoping will be contributors in 2022.
And the lefties, and you mentioned them, they may be coming, and that's Thompson and Liberatore, and it was even mentioned by John Mozeliak, you may see those guys. And especially, as you just said, if there's no minor league season, you just might see those two guys.
Yeah, and the real question is, you know, if there's no minor league season, how do they get the work? You just hope that there's going to be some kind of alternate, you know, capability if minor league seasons aren't played. Because, you know, the word is among, you know, pretty much everybody in the organization from top to bottom, from Mr. DeWitt, you know, on down to Mike Schilt, you know, they think that Liberatore made great strides and he could pitch in the same, maybe he'll be in the bullpen in St. Louis this year. I'm not saying the rotation, but you know, he could get his feet wet and, you know, be ready to stake his claim potentially in a rotation spot for 2022. Thompson had a little bit of a problem with his shoulder in camp. It was early on, so he didn't get to pitch as many innings, but of course they're very, very high on him too. And as a college player, you know, he's a little more experienced than Liberatore is. So, you know, you've kind of gone through what I believe are kind of the top stories, not of 2020, one for the Cardinals, not just now, but over the course of the season. It's going to be, and I kind of skipped over Gorman, but the point I wanted to make there was, you know, Matt Carpenter's contract only has 1 year to go. There's an option for next year, but most folks think that that's not going to, you know, get vested. And so, you know, you'd kind of like to see if Nolan Gorman's going to be ready to try to step in and take over that job next year. And yeah, it's, you know, it might be fast, but I think that's an ideal scenario for the Cardinals versus having to either extend Carpenter or bring a stopgap guy.
Love talking baseball with you, Brian. Brian from thecardinalnation.com. Content every day of the year, 365 days around the calendar. And, Brian, what are you working on this week?
Well, we'll talk next time about some of the Cardinals playing in winter ball. We've got a report up. Yesterday was a report on the hitters, a detailed scouting report. I've got a reporter, Blake Newberry, who's been watching all the league games from Dominican Republic and Venezuela that he can find. So we've got a detailed report on Edmundo Sosa and how he's playing. Dennis Ortega, a catcher's been playing very well. And Jose Rondon, who is a signing that the Cardinals made on a minor league deal just a couple weeks ago, had a game that he had four doubles and eight RBI. I mean, you know, so there's some guys in winter ball that are interesting. And then, of course, what you'll see up today is our report on pitchers. And the big story there, of course, is Carlos Martinez is pitching again in the Dominican. It's a little unusual for a major leaguer with his level of experience to be playing in winter ball. but we know his regular season ended with that oblique injury, and he's pretty much been told, hey, if you want to start next year for the St. Louis Cardinals, you got to come in and earn it, my friend. And so Martinez has said his goal is he's going to pitch in winter ball, and he wants to come to camp ready to throw 100 innings out of the gate. Now, I don't think that's reasonable, but it's a mindset that apparently he's established.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, Brian. We'll catch you up next Wednesday.
Take care, Dan.
Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com.